This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
What was it called? 21 Pilots?
Stressed Out.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready. Time.
Here.
Should I sing? Should I sing the intro?
Sing. Yeah.
You and me going. No, hold on, let me start again.
Keep that in, though.
No, leave it in.
Keep all of it.
Leave it in. Because it's the learning process, and then by the end, we're both singing and we're harmonizing,
right.
It's great. And we're going to do it the live one.
Right.
You and me, we're two friends who like our history. Mm-hmm. You give us a oh.
Oh,
okay, start again. You and me, we're two friends who like our history.
Whoa.
No. Whoa. You and me, we're two friends who like our history. Oh.
Oh.
Don't do anything.
All right.
You and me, we're two friends who like our history. Whoa. Gonna start. Start again. You and me, we're two friends who like our history. Whoa. Gonna start the greatest pod Spotify has ever seen. You and me, gonna split the myth from history. Whoa.
I like it.
There could be more, but that's where we're at the minute.
That's great.
I came up with it on my way down to do a pee in between recording episodes and told Fosty downstairs when I was making pee, and I went, I've got the theme tune. He went, it's better than the end. And he didn't believe in it.
I liked that we started off with it.
Yeah.
And that we went through the... I feel like we all have ownership of it because
we've been through the practices.
But I mean, I feel like we all feel like we're part of it.
Yeah.
So today's episode, we're...
Oh, get straight in.
Oh, I want to.
No loop?
No.
No historical loop?
HL, if I was... See, if you had to lube up a historical figure, you don't get to fuck them, you're just lubing them up for somebody else. Who do you lube up?
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know. You said lube and history and it all got confused. I think it'd be funny to lube up somebody really smart like Albert Einstein, because he'd be very aware.
Yes, I could see him being quite dry.
It'd
be like therapeutic.
Yeah, he doesn't have a wee wet bum like, you know.
No.
He's too smart to be sweating out of his asshole.
Yeah. Or maybe that's making him sweat out of his asshole because
he's so smart. It's all relative.
Yeah. I don't get that.
A equals MC squared relativity.
I know the theory of relativity. I understand how to explain it.
I don't.
Basically, if you're standing on a platform of a train and someone's going past, your perception of time's different to theirs. What's today's subject?
I was like talking to Einstein because I don't know what anything he just said. Today's subject is the Curse of the Pharaohs and or the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun. We're going to start with...
Which is it?
Well, do you know what? It's all about Tutankhamun. We're gonna look at Tutankhamun, his life, his death, the discovery of his tomb, and then the curse. But just generally, a wee bit about curses in ancient times as well.
I like what you've done there.
I like that.
Can I ask, before we get into this, have you heard the song King Tut by Steve Martin?
I think so. I've definitely seen him acting, doing the
Egyptian
the
stuff.
Classic.
It's when the Tutankhamun dance. Exhibition started the tour, I think. And it was coming to New York. There was a real buzz about it. And he did that song, which I always enjoy.
Do you believe in curses?
No.
Maybe you will at the end of this. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
No, I don't.
So what do you know already about Tutankhamun and about his tomb and all?
I know that in the back of the newspaper, whenever I was about 10, there was a thing you could send away for, and it was a Tutankhamun head. You know, like with a glass case on it. It was like a base, you know, like a felt base.
Yep.
And it was exactly like that, obviously. It was about this size, right?
Yeah.
Which is, that's 15 inches, right? And you put like a glass case on top of it.
Right.
And I know that I ordered that. And, sorry, that's very unprofessional of me. My phone's ringing.
It happens.
Could be the curse. I know that I ordered that and had it in my bedroom, and then after a few months I was like, it's weird that I have this, and I just threw it out.
I think I had a wee mummy thing. It was like his wee don't know if it was him or it was just a generic mummy,
right.
But it was like a wee sarcophagus thing, and you could press a wee button on it, and the head would flip up like that.
Oh, right, that's
which
that's,
was a wee thing. But it was a wee thing.
Like. I also know that the depictions of him make him look like cute, like 9 out of 10, like complete like Egyptian hot guy.
Mm.
And then when they reconstructed his face, stinging.
Didn't have it going on. Looks a wee bit like Tiny Tim from the George C. Scott 1984 Christmas Carol.
Right.
Well, send it down. I don't know what he's done.
Decent thighs on him.
He's got big
the
thighs.
The only thing he has going for him.
He's got big thighs though, because I don't think his feet were in great nick from right. what they've said right. about him.
Huge nipples.
I think
big muffin top as well on him. Big muffin top.
Oh. He's got, what's a muffin top?
It's like when your body goes like this, and then you've like fat around the hips, and it kind of goes out like top of a muffin.
Right. Okay. Body shaming, Tutankhamun, but whatever.
No, I tell you what, he has the physique of a swimmer who's been injured for a while.
I wonder, was he swimming in a pool of rocks? If you look at his left leg, but also, was he doing nets at the pyramids, and he's like dived over to his left, and he's crunched it. But this is all conjecture, this here, because...
Oh, right.
We don't, like, genuinely conjecture, because other people disagree.
He looks like he's just had the hurt on turkey as well.
Some people think that the what looks like he may have had a club foot on his left side may just be, like, decay and bad, damage done to his body after the fact. So right. Some people do think that, but anyway, let's get stuck in this. So Tutankhamun was pharaoh of Egypt. He was the last emperor, or sorry, last pharaoh of the... I fucked it already. He was the last pharaoh of, I believe...
Hey, can I say something? Take a deep breath in through your nose. But see, when you do, stop and then take a bit more. Right. And let that go slow out your mouth. Now go.
Tutankhamun.
How much are you ready for bed after
doing that? I don't know, I'm so tired. I didn't sleep good last night. It took me ages getting over.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I bet, and I don't mean to sound like fucking every TikTok or whatever. Here's how you sleep. You know what you're doing? I guarantee you. Devices before bed.
I wasn't. I don't do devices.
What were you doing?
I couldn't get over.
But what were you doing just before you went to bed?
I went up to bed. So I played a wee bit of Xbox.
Ladies and gentlemen... Mystery solved.
No.
I don't do devices. I played Xbox.
Played a wee bit of Xbox until I was tired enough to go up to bed. Then I did my get ready for bed routine.
Which is what?
I do some gymnastics, and then I would undress. I would prepare some stuff for the next day, clothing and whatnot, and then I'll go and do my teeth and all.
Right, it sounds like you played Xbox and then you had 3 minutes where you did other stuff. Close your eyes, you went, I can't sleep after all this gaming.
No, I played the Xbox for about half an hour. I was writing until quite late last night.
Right, I want you to have some proper wind down time. What about a wee bit of meditation?
I normally read, but I was too tired to read last night, but then I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, but you're reading porn.
But it's a Braille version.
Right, right.
I like to feel the lumps. Now,
Braille Housewives?
This guy. And right, so let's get stuck in this, right? Tutankhamun, pharaoh of Egypt.
When we're talking?
Like 1300 BC through like 12 stuff BC. Mostly in the 12s, 1200s BC, like.
So going back?
Like, so what would that be? Like early 14th
century BC?
Late 14th, early 13th century BC.
So even Jesus would have been looking at this guy being like, he's ancient.
This is antiquity. This is longer ago to Jesus than William the Conqueror is to us. Longer than that.
Freak.
We're going back. It's like us looking back at King Arthur, I think. Right, so King Arthur, 800s?
Did he exist? Like, I don't
know. Right, well, anyway.
He's buried in Alton, Leicester.
So.
They found him. That's true.
I was Richard, wasn't it? Richard the Third? Yeah. Richard the Something?
They're both there.
Anyway, Richard? George?
No, he sells Richard. The clothes in Asda.
Right, that's what it is. So that's great. So he was the last he was the last pharaoh. This is woeful. He was the last pharaoh of the 18th dynasty of Egyptian pharaohs.
You know what this is like? The freeview.
The what?
The freeview on the porn channels when you're a teenager.
Showing all the best bits. All no, the chaos. No. No penetration.
They're just standing there. Start doing stuff.
Stand there doing the...
Yeah.
The what do you call it? The Euro trash dance?
Yeah.
While the background moves. Anyway.
1332 to 13.
See if you can put me on a moving background. Say it again.
1332 to 1323.
All right, okay, so it's all 13th, right? Fair enough. So 14th century BC, that's good knowledge. But he was a wee bit older. That's his reign, is it? So so I believe he came to power after his most likely father is this other pharaoh called Akhenaten. And the names get quite tedious, by the way. But so Akhenaten was a guy who, when he took over, decided to sort of rejig Egyptian religion a wee bit. Closed off quite a lot of Egyptian cults because they worshipped different gods, and basically made Aten, which was the god that he was named after, the god, and was sort of trying to make it a wee bit more monotheistic, one god worshipping, right?
Sure.
And a lot of people didn't like this. A lot of people were going, you're fucking with the religion, you're gonna piss off all the other gods. And sure enough, Akhenaten fucking dies, and there's a couple of bits of fucking around in the middle, and then
HFA
historical fucking around, and Tutankhamun takes over, right?
At what age?
So was he, let me get this now, was he...
You can also say don't know.
No, but I did look this up. I think he was about, was he about 18 when he took over?
The boy king.
And he lived until he was about 29.
Yes.
I believe that's correct. Is that right, Dan? Or was he like 9 when he took over and died when he was 19? That actually sounds more correct.
Between 8 and 9 when he ascended to the throne.
Eight and 9 and then, I know, you're getting your, mate, you should be collecting stickers, you know what I mean?
He's having to go to school, do his homework, and be the king.
Oh, do you know what though? Imagine when you were at 8 or 9, people being like, bowing down and all, I'd be like...
Yeah, you would make that transition from just a boy to the king very quickly.
Imagine how many magazines right now.
What do you mean?
How many magazines you would get because you're a king? You don't even have to be.
Oh, you just get match and
you don't
shoot
even
them?
Have to hold on to your mummy's hand. So you're just getting them.
Right,
fucking right. You're getting all the magazines. I'm even getting the girly ones.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just to have them.
Yes.
Lucky bags and all. Right. So, I used to love a lucky bag now. So he takes over when he's like 8 or 9, right? And sort of fairly quickly decides let's go back to the old way of having different gods, and one of the gods is Amun, which was their weirdly their god of, like, Amun Ra, their god of the sun, sort of all became this one big cult. And so he changed that, and people liked him for that. And he got rid of Akhenaten's capital
Clearly not. What's happening? Is Egypt like the dog's balls at this point?
Yeah, I mean, this is pre Ramesses and stuff like that. So Ramesses was like a couple of pharaohs. He was the start of like the 19th dynasty. So, isn't that right? 19th. He was the last real pharaoh in the 18th dynasty.
Right.
There was a couple of fuck around people after him for a wee while, and then Ramesses took over. Actually, one of.
Can we start calling fuck around people in history in any episode faps?
Faps, right. There was just a couple of faps. There was one of these faps who was a wee bit of a not so fap, right? Haramheb or something like that his name was. He was Tutankhamun's guy. He was like his vizier, right? His Jafar,
right,
if you will, right? That's what he is, a royal vizier, great word. Vizier, right? So not to be confused with the thing that holds your daddies. Now, so he you wouldn't want a vizier to give you advice, and you wouldn't want a vizier to hold your ditties. No.
Well, if you're a king, you can't.
Maybe you would. You just go, here, hold them. Hold them. So his life was a wee bit fucked, right? Because he took over when he was quite young. He had these years then where Egypt, he sort of had to put down a few revolts and fight with a few people. He was fighting with...
Is he getting involved himself? Like,
well, there's questions about this. There's talk that he was a very keen archer. There's a lot of bows and arrows, a lot of bows found in his tomb. So, pictures of him as an archer and all this. So, they were fighting with other nations, basically, in Africa. So, Nubian. He was fighting with them. Nubians?
No, Numidian.
Fighting with other tribe in Africa, yeah. Another nation, right? And so apparently he actually
Nubians,
went to war.
Nubians.
Other Africans, right?
Always,
right? And he went over. These were faps compared to Egypt, right? I like that.
Yeah.
You wee fap, right? Now, anyway, which also does weirdly sound like, you know, you're going to make somebody jizz. But anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
He was fighting against them.
Did people
Because it all worked out. It worked out great. They defeated these other people. Some people say that he probably went. He was definitely there. Other people say, did he really take part, or was he just sort of strategic?
Well, if they weren't holding me back, my mates tell me I can't get involved because I'm too good at fighting them.
If I fucking pull out this club foot and hit you with it, you go down. Yeah. You'd actually die too quickly.
Yeah. Who wants a club sandwich?
So he was doing that like when he was a teenager, and then he gets back into Egypt or whatever, and this is when we start looking at he obviously died very young. He died when he was like 18, 19, right? And it's like, how did he die then becomes all the talk. So there's a lot of, they've done brilliant DNA tests, right? This is the right way to do this. We'll look at his death.
Unlike
and
our
look at the
fucking 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
Great DNA test on our 23andMe.
Yeah, it says like how he was 80% likely to have the ability to roll his tongue. Now when he died, he was like 18 or 19. So they've done this test. They believe that he had this club foot, and that he would have needed the use of a cane, right?
Have they got his skeleton?
Yeah, they have his mummy.
What about him?
They actually have his mummy as well, though.
Oh, really?
So they've
got the mummy's mummy?
Right, so his father was Akhenaten.
Yeah.
His mother is in another tomb from the Valley of the Kings, and she's known as the Young Lady. The younger lady, sorry. This is the Valley of Kings. So this is where they discovered his tomb. Now, this is from a different angle of the Valley of Kings from the photo that I had. But is that his tomb there, Dan, is it? Or so the one that I was looking at was basically his tomb was over on that ridge there, over to the right, okay? Now, before we get into how they got his tomb and all, just... a lot of different theories about things that he may have had. Some people think that he had this head wound and that he'd been struck with a blunt object, but they've done amazing tests to prove that the bone fragment that was inside his skull was a post-mortem, like way post-mortem injury that happened to the corpse, like in the 20th century. So like, right. He wasn't hit in the head.
Wait, can Other I ask people, a side note just while we're on it? Apologies. Mm. See, like, the tombs in the Valley of the Kings and all?
Yeah.
Ballpark, when were they all discovered? or have they never been not discovered?
So some of them, so obviously the bigger ones people know about, but a lot of them late 1800s, early 1900s, like for this modern.
What a buzz!
Like archaeological kind of like record keeping being done in the 1800s, 1900s, a massive swell of interest in the classical world in the early, late 1800s. Early 1900s.
Why? Because people could travel more and stuff?
Yeah, so like the so-called grand tours of the Victorian times where rich people would go through like Europe, so they would go and North Africa, so they would like be reading classics and then they would go to like ancient Egypt, they go to ancient Greece, they go to ancient
Rome. And then they're going to publish what they find? In...
Some of them, on the grand tours, most people, they were just buying shit that was there. And taking it back to wherever they were from. This was sort of big in English, French, and German culture, and which are still sort of major countries in classics now, like classical studies. So then, like, archaeology becoming, like, more prevalent in, like, late 1800s, early 1900s, more people are actually going to do, like, discover stuff and learn how to dig, but learn how to keep the records properly, but it was still like, it's nothing like modern archaeology. When you dig all that stuff up, it all usually gets thrown back in and that causes problems, right? And actually, we're going to talk about how they discovered his tomb and how previous civilization, previous to us, but after Tutankhamun, basically preserved his tomb. So in terms of his death, though, lots of theories. They know from testing his body that he had at least four different strains of malaria. And so some people think that he must have died of this last strain of malaria that he had.
Wasn't as well that sometimes they would do these kind of tests and stuff and they'd find that these people, a lot of these rulers and kings and things like that, had poison in their bodies because sometimes they would like microdose poisons because they were also paranoid about getting poisoned.
Yeah, so like some of them
obviously you wouldn't do that with malaria.
I don't think it happened with him, but like there's people who, so what do you call him, the first emperor of China,
Richard
Qin, he fucking drank mercury and killed himself drinking mercury.
Freddy?
Or Charlemagne, you know, the famous Holy French. Roman Emperor, he had an asbestos coat that he used to show people, like a cloak. He used to show it to people and be like, look, you can't burn me. Because it was obviously flame retardant, but it fully poisoned him. What?
Go ahead.
And so anyway.
Can't use that word anymore.
Or some people think that Caligula and other Roman emperors were poisoned by the lead pipes on the Capitoline Hill. Because they had like lead plumbing, but like obviously then maybe lead poisoning leads to the, you know, I'm going to buck my sister and go nuts sort of mentality. Speaking of bucking your sister, not your sister, speaking of bucking sisters, Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
Fully at it with his sister, by the way. Fully at it. Married to his sister. His mother and father may well have been close relatives. His mother was also his auntie. So right. They were brother and sister.
Was this like a ruler thing, or was this just that society then?
I think it's part of their society where they're keeping it like a, shall we say, a tight-knit little group, a very close family thing.
Right.
They're flat out bucking each other, right? Right. He ends up, they had two children.
Could that be why he like looks like it?
Why he has like those issues, yeah. His wife, I think she was like maybe like his half sister. His wife, I mean, still not great, right? His wife is
doesn't make it half less weird.
Her name is basic like Ankh. It's very hard to say, like Ankh Sunamun or something like that. And she's the basis of like the female mummy in the mummy movies. Ankh Sunamun they call her in that, but I think her name is like Ankh Senamun. Or something like that.
Yeah, pretty close.
It's hard.
Ankh says you've done it.
So they have her body as well. So they're able to test these bodies and see how they're related to each other, basically, right? So they have his mother. Some people thought his mother was Nefertiti, who was this sort of famously beautiful I mean, beautiful. They've also done a facial reconstruction of her.
Yikes.
Not great. Right? I mean, looks like she should be the, you know, she should also be bouncing at, like, the fucking Dirty Onion or something.
Looks like she should be playing centre-back for the Wilders.
Unbelievable. So, basically, a lot of different theories about his death. Some people think he may have been epileptic as well. He could have died from a seizure. He had scoliosis as well, which I think is that a curved spine.
Yeah.
So he had that. I mean, tough life, right?
Oh, wow.
Now, a couple of things that I think are cool, just generally that I know about him, are that he had a dagger that was made out of a meteor. Like, the blade is made from the metal taken from a fucking actual meteor because they've tested it. And it's from outer space, which is probably the coolest knife story I've got.
He had a club foot. He was the product of incest. He had scoliosis. He was epileptic. But he had a space knife.
Here. Space knife counts for an awful lot, though.
Yeah.
I mean, here, not saying that for all those reasons I couldn't have been mates with him, but I definitely would have wanted to be mates with Space Knife.
You really had Space Knife?
That's so... Space Knife was fucking unreal. So anyway... He, right, so he's dead. After him, a couple of faps take over, and then it's Ramses, and we're in that dynasty then, right? So,
Can I say, growing up, dynasty was, or dynasty, whatever you prefer, was the best Chinese takeaway in Hollywood.
Really? Brilliant. Is it still open?
It's a golden rainbow now, pal. But, no, in fact, no, sorry, I get confused between then Silver City and Dynasty, but Dynasty was brilliant. Can't speak for Golden Rainbow at the minute. I don't know what it's like. But
is
Dynasty
there a Chinese that you go to now?
No.
No. I haven't been.
I make my own.
I haven't been since Christmas to the Chinese. It's I know it sounds like nothing. As it's
here, no.
We're 2 weeks into January. That's a big deal.
No, it's I'm proud of you.
£7 now. I'm not even getting into it.
That's cheap.
Fuck the haters. Right. See what you did there. So anyway, right.
What's your order?
Huh?
What's your order?
Oh, I like...
You'll definitely realise you're not...
In one box. I like getting one box that has a curry half and half of noodles and rice and salt and chilli chicken over the top of that. That is a fucking great time.
Mm-hmm.
They do it so good. Element Sandy time. We love it.
You know my order? So we'll... In my house, what we'll do is... We'll get two different things and mix it up.
Sure,
so
you strike me as a sweet and sour sort of guy.
Nope, have done before. Salt and chili chicken, honey chili chicken, boiled rice, chips, mix all them bad boys up.
Curry sauce?
I don't.
I need the sauce.
Right.
So there it is. Vespasian says no to culinary chat. Now
here, we should have brought Coco in for this episode.
He loves it.
He loves it. My barber's
from Egypt, didn't he?
Yeah.
What part of Egypt is he from, do you know?
No. Do you want me to ask him? Do you want me to phone him and see what he knows about Tutankhamun?
Yeah. While you're doing that, I'll tell you a wee bit about... we've sort of covered the rise of classics and Egyptology.
Nah, I'm ringing. He won't know anything about Tutankhamun.
I think I need the burp. Do you want it in the mic?
No. We're not like that here.
Hello?
Coco, just a wee quick one, mate. Me and Kieran are doing a podcast episode about Tutankhamun. Do you know anything cool about Tutankhamun you can tell us?
What is it, sorry?
We're doing a podcast episode about Tutankhamun, me and Kieran.
Yeah.
And we just want to know if you know anything cool about Tutankhamun you could tell us.
Not really.
All right. Okay, brother. I'll see you next week.
Sorry, mate.
All right, mate. See you later.
Bye.
Useless on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Phone a friend. You get an Egyptology question. Don't phone him. Phone me. Right. So, let's talk about his tomb, and then we'll talk about curses and the curse. Right. So, his tomb. So this guy Howard, a terrible name. We're just gonna call him.
Just say Howard.
Howard Carter. Right. Your heart, right? So he, do I have a picture of Carter? Let's get a wee pic off him, Dan. He's important in this story. He found a fucking thing. You do have a picture of him because he's in the picture of the tomb.
Kieran, whoa, keep your head, mate.
But I don't know if you can see him, Groot, in the open tomb. I have two pictures of him. Right, that's a good one, right?
That is a nice parting.
Right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
are they looking for the dicker? Look at them. Where's your wee dick?
So,
here, take a wee toffee armor to his dicker, will you? That's it, get a wee leg going, his wee dicker.
Brush a dick. So,
see if he gets a hardener.
Unbelievable. So,
AEH?
What?
Ancient Egyptian hardener?
PR pyramid route, right? So he hard Carter is a guy. He's an English guy. He went to Egypt in the late 1800s, right? And he did work for other archaeologists. Developed a wee bit. He was a painter. So he was apparently a really good artist, really good painter. And when he was quite young, like 17 or 18 or whatever, he ends up in Egypt. And do you know what he's doing? He's going into places and painting Egyptian objects that have been found and painting. He's copying what's on the walls in tombs that are being found so that people can, like, they can print it in newspapers, people can see it, that kind of thing. Why didn't
you just bring a camera?
They didn't have it at this point properly, like, that way. It was all specialist equipment. Anyway, so he's able to paint. So that's what he was in doing. And then he's been on a lot of digs. He's learning the business of how to, like, hire local Egyptian guys to do the fucking backbreaking work of digging through this fucking sand. And then, like, some Western guy like him controls the dig, basically, and tells people where to dig, and then he gets all the credit. And running the business of, like, working with the fucking, like, antiquities people in Egypt, like a big government department they have there, to get permission to dig and all, right?
Can you say I really like the way he's dressed?
You do?
He looks like he's wearing a pair of 501s and a nice wee fitted shirt from M&S.
He's doing all right, and I mean, he looks like he could be doing that now.
HGC? You know what I mean? Historically cute guy?
That's HCG.
So you say he
HGC is historically cute guy, as told you by somebody with reading issues, Luke. You know what I mean?
AKA me. Is he, so you're saying he went over there and he's like 17, 18? Does he just stay there?
Yeah. Because he's essentially, I think he goes back and forth a couple of times, but he basically stays there. Develops a wee bit of a bad rep.
Ooh.
Interesting for us, wee bit of a bad rep. Guess what he gets a rep for?
Just like trying to see the dicks.
Well, funny you should mention that. Because that is part of a rep that he develops, that he has a propensity for young hot boys.
Out of the tomb, above ground?
Above ground, and the occasional...
AGBs, above ground boys.
And the occasional exotic dancer.
I can boys.
He'll turf a woman if she's a stripper. He seems to have generally, and this is all from different letters and things that I was learning about, he seems to have potentially been a closeted gay guy, right? So he develops that rep, but he develops which isn't a great reputation to have at this time, right? Late 1800s, early 1900s in Egypt, in British culture in Egypt. So he also develops a bit of a rep for being a wee bit of a pincher, Shane. And I'm not talking about wee bumps.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about a wee rep for, I was on this dig and I happened to get this fucking ancient Egyptian amulet out of this place. Nobody knows about it. There's a wee present for you. Other people going, this is a bit rare. He's definitely stealing stuff.
Right.
You get into a fucking full row with people over this with, like, I think French archaeologists and stuff about his right to be there digging and his right to take artifacts. And people didn't like this about him.
Yeah.
So he's been then 1900s, 1910s. He's been early 1910s. He's been working for Lord Carnarvon, right? So we'll have a...
Sounds like an horse.
We'll have a... He is. So we'll have Lord a picture Carnarvon. Of the Lord, right? Is he a lord or is he a lord? Look at that.
Definitely guy. An HAG. Historically right. Awful guy.
Oh, I don't
also,
know.
Also, don't mind
that.
The cut of his suit.
I was going to say HSD, historical sweet dresser.
No, I'll agree with you there, definitely.
Can I also just throw this out there?
Yeah.
What a fucking throne that is.
That's a nice seat.
That's conservatory furniture from the 1990s. Definitely. Right?
Definitely.
You know, he's had a wee trip to Dunelm, right? So, he has a load of money, right? He has become ill in England.
Right.
Carnarvon has. And they say to him here, classic early, late 19th, early 20th century doctor's orders. You need a wee bit of drier weather, bro.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, yep.
It's the damp. The damp's getting you,
right? To be fair, that's like my dad having like asbestos in his lungs and going to Tenerife.
Right, here, it helps, right? So he goes for a bit of drier weather. He goes to Egypt. He's recovering in Egypt. He's very ill. And he takes up an interest in ancient Egypt and Egyptology. And he starts funding digs and funding archaeology.
So he wasn't before he went there? Sorry,
I wasn't particularly arsed, right, by all accounts. Was there for the weather, stayed for the artifacts, right? Became very interested. He looks around for people. Somebody recommends Carter to him. They end up working quite closely. Now, apparently as well, Carter also had a reputation for being a very difficult little cunt, right? Everyone basically said, guy was a fucking asshole, right? Very difficult, very fucking anal about things and a bit of an asshole.
Sounds good.
Yeah, right. So, So Carnarvon's funding it all. They've had a few digs. It's not going well, right?
Yeah.
World War One happens. Chaos, right? All fucking, it's just melting as fuck.
Was there combat in Egypt?
Yeah.
In World War One?
Yeah, so like...
Were the pyramids
across
damaged?
North Africa. I don't think they were particularly damaged, the pyramids or anything, but like the desert around Cairo was definitely part of the war, like, and just a fucking nightmare, right? And it's all like a lot of stuff I got shut down. Wasn't really as much
who
going
was
on.
Fighting in Egypt?
Fucking everybody. Like, what do you mean?
Like, what was the actual I know that's nothing to do with the episode. What combat in World War One was going on?
There was definitely British
Egypt?
British forces in
against
Egypt, French
who?
Forces against like fucking German forces, the Turkish forces, I think, as well. Like,
holy shit.
Say again? Italians, maybe, yeah. Just all. A whole fuck fest in North Africa as part of World War One, right?
NAFF.
What's that?
North African fuck fest.
Oh, unbelievable. I love that. NAF, that's what that spells. I would fucking hate, do you know where I would hate to fight? North Africa or like out in the jungle? The jungle.
I go jungle ahead of like Siberia.
I would go for cold ahead of anywhere hot.
I thrive.
I'll operate all right in the cold. I have a
yeah,
I have
Siberia cold's not like, I'll put a jumper on, you're okay.
I played.
But I have knitwear on.
I played five-a-side when I was on holiday in Turkey at 1 a.m. and it must have been 30 degrees. The humidity was wild and I was strolling about like peak Rivaldo. So I'd prefer the jungle. And by the way, I'd been drinking.
I'd be.
I got picked up by a child in a Mercedes, and that is no way a lie.
I would be rolling about in that weather, yep. like a fucking beach one, like just a nightmare. Anyway, so Carnarvon's funding Carter. World War One ends. They do another dig or two. Not great.
And they're not into it. They're just like this. Oh no.
Carnarvon's getting a bit pissy now and going, I'm not mad keen on this. They've been digging in the Valley of the Kings looking for stuff. They haven't really found too much. Carter has a theory.
You probably don't know the answer to this. Say you just want to start digging for stuff back then. Can you just dig, or you pay some people off?
You would have to get permission from like the antiquities government. Department in Egypt, right?
Few crisp ones.
Probably you're probably dropping a bit of coin, like yeah, and you're hiring local people to do the actual work, right? So. It's still way dodgier then than it is now. I mean, there's a lot more rules and regulation now about like when you find stuff, what has to happen. And still people are dodgy bastards. But anyway, like there was those guys get done there recently with trying to sell a coin hoard in England that they found in England, like on the black market. They're in fucking jail, right? Anyway, so like it's pretty serious shit.
And for a
penny. And in a country, that's great. In for a hoard of pennies. In countries like Egypt or Greece or Rome, where there's like masses of highly valuable, like antiques basically and antiquities, like it's like there's a whole government department set up to deal with shit, right?
Coco does have these in his shop. He's just sent me a picture. He does have these in his shop. So
I see. So that's obviously like the, that's maybe more like the Ramses thing.
But he won't know.
The
woman, he won't know.
The woman's meant to be like Nefertiti, isn't it? That's like the head that they think is Nefertiti. Anyway, that's great. So Carter has a theory. There's like a row of houses that are still ancient themselves, but way after Tutankhamun. And they're like, so they're ruins. And Carter has this theory that they may have been built on top of something, because this is something that would have happened. And obviously with the sand and stuff there, you know, sand will blow in and sit on top of stuff, especially over like hundreds of years. Sandy and then people will build on that, right? So Carter wants to dig at these houses. So he says to the guys, he says to Carnarvon, and Carnarvon says, I will fund this. We're doing one more season and that's your lot, right? And so he pays for it. And then sure enough, they're digging away at these houses. And on one day, this young boy who's part of the team fucking trips over like a rock, what looks to them like a stone, and turns out to be the top step of a staircase going down into the ground. Now we'll have a picture of them opening the tomb. So this is in November 1922.
It's nuts.
They find,
oh my god,
what he actually found was a door that had the cartouche of
pronounced cartoon.
Of Tutankhamun on it. So the cartouche is obviously the hieroglyphs of his name, right? And so he knows that this is fucking serious. He knows it hasn't been fucking disturbed in a long time, because they had to dig down under ruined old houses to find it, right? And they basically open it, and the story goes, that's one of the guys on the team, that's Carter, and an Egyptian guy that was there digging with them. And the story goes that they open when they get Carnarvon there. They send for Carnarvon. He gets there, I think, in a couple of days with his daughter, maybe a couple of weeks. But they open the top corner of the door. They chisel the top bit of it off and shine a torch through. And somebody says to Carter, can you see anything? And he says, yes, I can see everything. Wonderful things, right? And then they
say it like the way you think he would have said it.
Yes.
No, I'll say, can you see anything? Can you see anything?
Yes. I see everything. Wonderful things.
That was really good.
Thank you. Harmy. Now, if you want to see Hard Carter as a fat bald guy, I'm ready. So they get inside. That's when all manner of riches are found in here. So you have that mask. You have a load of canes, loads of them.
All right.
A load of bows. The Coptic jars that have all his like entrails in the jars. They preserved all this. They have the mummy itself inside the sarcophagus. There's the daggers. There's swords.
The space dagger.
I think space knife was in there.
Do you think like, surely there's a lot, or do you think they pay for security on this? Because surely if word gets about, these English guys have found Tutankhamun's tomb, surely a load of baddies come around and be like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, see, this is a problem with the Valley of the Kings generally, is that loads of these tombs, this is why, like, when they find tombs now, they're very often the mummies in it, and maybe, like, the wooden box of the sarcophagus is in it. But like most of the stuff's been stripped out of it, and it's not because it wasn't there. It's because it was robbed in fucking antiquity. It was robbed 2,000 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So these guys actually find them one that's intact like this. Is there anything I'm missing that was in there that's like really important? Was there a chariot in there?
Lava lamp.
Am I making that up?
There was a lava lamp.
Might have been.
There was loads of mental shit, but like basically you're talking about millions and millions and millions of pounds worth of shit. Priceless artifacts and all this history, the paintings of Tutankhamun, paintings of him where he's like meeting different Egyptian gods and hanging out with them, Osiris, Amun-Ra, all these different gods. And basically then that's Carnarvon and Carter, they're made like obviously for life. Carter is meant to have fully stolen stuff out of this place, by the way.
Oh, he would have.
And given it out as gifts to people and all that he knew. Now
the entrails.
The entrails. And
here's a kidney, mate.
HEG, historical entrail giver. So he basically, this is when we need to start talking about the curse in it, because they found it, they stripped a lot of it out. The mask and all that, you can still see it in Egypt, but I think that then they bring quite a lot of it. Did they bring some of it through to England first and then it went back?
Yeah, there's a warning on the tomb.
A warning about, like, basically, if you
disturb death shall come on swift wings to him who disturbs the peace of the king.
See when I see it?
Nah. Just leave it.
Save it. Let someone else open it.
Yeah. So then this
you do the honours, mate, the way Egyptian guy there?
So curses generally, right? So you call it execration text, right? So execration is another word for
just got an execration text
for the curse, right? So like, there's a couple of other tombs say things like that on them as well, and sometimes you get it on like so there's like Shabtis, or these little they're like wardens of the afterlife, basically. Now, some tombs will have had like hundreds of Shabtis in them. They're all like little, sometimes they're like little people or wee animals, and they'll have writing painted onto them. And it's mostly prayers and stuff like that, or like, you know, obviously, like they believe in putting stuff into the tomb that was relevant to that person. So like, yeah, if he did need the use of a cane, putting in a load of canes, or like he was meant to be a good archer, so they put in a load of archery stuff. That's all great, right? And then they, Shabtis and things like that, and different things can sometimes have these curses on it, or they'll put them on slightly different types of a Shabti that have like, it'll be like a list of all that person's enemies, or like a list of people, like not just people who fucked them over, but maybe what they did, and curses on them if they think bad of this person after they're dead, or like that to warn people in the afterlife that this person doesn't want to be near those people in the afterlife, all that sort of shit.
Keep him away from me.
Right. Yeah, like, they were real spiritual, really into all this, right? And so, it's sort of similar, like, there's evidence from other places. So, like, I know that people would have written curses in the Roman Empire as well, where you would get, like, a piece of lead, and because you can score lead, you can write on it quite easily. So you would write, like, a curse onto the lead, and then you fold it up, and then you melt it closed so no one can read it again, and then you offer it somewhere, or you bury it somewhere, something like that, right? So that, like, people were into this stuff. They believed that the shit really worked. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So people know they believe Liverpool are going to win the league.
What is it?
Fuck, he ain't got smart. People ain't... Like, people in Man United are going to look. Says.
So, here's the thing with this curse then, right? Some people believe in the Pharaoh's curse because relatively sure.
Oh, no. Are you going to tell me freaky things start happening to these guys?
Yeah, so a couple of weirdnesses, and then we'll get into the deaths, right? So, weirdness would be... what do you call him? Carter believes that he saw a jackal, the same type of jackal as the Egyptian god of death, I think Anubis. I believe that he saw this like later, like in the day or two after opening the tomb, and a big sign of bad luck. And it hadn't been sighted in a long time, and he believed he saw one out in the desert. A guy who was on the dig, one of the people in the team. So one of the curses was about said that fire and water would come, and his house burnt down, and then after they rebuilt it flooded like pretty quickly. Carnarvon, this is when we're getting into the real shit here. Carnarvon got bitten on the beak by a mosquito, and had the mosquito bite on his face, and this is within 2 years, I think, of the...
23 died, so yeah.
Oh, like within a year, right? Year.
1923.
So he has the bite on his face.
Is he still in Egypt?
Yeah, when he got bitten, yeah. And he shaved over it. foolish. Wasn't using Manscaped, I know, right?
To me for 20% off.
Fucking free shim. Yeah, no blasters. 20% off. Free shim. Anyway, shaves over it, and then it develops this fucking mad infection. And he fucking died from shaving over a mosquito bite. And so people are like, holy fuck, the curse is real. Death has come on swift wings, this cunt.
2 years.
And then, so then there's the thing with the house and all.
Must have been Rainer. Down.
And then a couple of other people in the next 15 years died younger than they should have died, but died in like rare circumstances though, where they're maybe like fucking burnt or some guy fell.
Well, George J. Gould, an American businessman who visited the tomb, died the same year he visited the tomb in 1923. Mm. Prince Ali Kamel.
He developed some weird infection.
He had pneumonia,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
An Egyptian prince was murdered in 1923 after having visited the tomb.
All people died back in. Like.
Sir Bruce Ingram, radiologist involved in the X-ray of Tutankhamun, died. Lord Carnarvon's half-brother died in 1923 of blood poisoning. Captain Richard Bethell, personal secretary Carnarvon, died. And Douglas Reed, another radiologist, died.
See? And then some people say Carter, he died at 64 of lymphoma. Before he died, what, like 16 years or something after this? I probably think he didn't meet a curse there. Like, you know, 16 years later, dying of cancer. I think a guy, I think he smoked, didn't he?
Yeah.
You talk to Dan as if he knows every question
Dan
in
has
history.
A computer.
Yeah, but you don't say, Dan, could we look that up? You go, Dan, didn't he smoke?
I think he did.
Dan,
anyway,
how did he smoke a day?
Anyway, what brand did he smoke? So anyway, he, I sort of, that's fucking.
And it won't be picked up by the mics, I don't
the head.
Think.
Pat the Fosty head of a Nepalese soy boy. Fosty said camel for anybody.
Here, give the
that.
Nepalese soy boy a wee kiss in the head, because that deserves it, okay?
Or I've just got COVID from him.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Fosty.
So you don't believe in that curse? You don't think that that's like a thing?
No.
I genuinely wonder about it.
But.
I wonder about things like that.
It can't. Be real.
Why?
Just can't.
A curse is put on it. People saying if you open this, you'll die, and a load of people who did it died, and you don't think there's a connection?
No.
A weird coincidence.
People were dying of all sorts of things back then.
It's only 100 years ago. This is fucking. This is 1920s. Like.
Nah, people were.
It's like selection bias, isn't it?
They were all living out in
some
Egypt.
People,
we're all living out in Egypt.
Some people say there's an Egyptologist who I looked up who said that this is unadulterated claptrap, right? And I'm like, get better words, right? Just say it's a load of bollocks right now anyway. I don't think it's bollocks. I wonder about stuff like this.
So you're saying 100% history?
This is all history. So the stuff that's weird, obviously, right, is like, and stuff that is up for discussion, even when they've done these DNA tests and they've done all the tests on his bones, there's still a chance that he didn't have those issues. There's still a chance that the canes are just in there as like a thing that a pharaoh might have had, right? He probably did have a problem. I'm just giving you a devil's advocate, right? Also, the stuff to do with his parentage and stuff like that I think is interesting, because I think it's brilliant that they're able to go, this is definitely his father. This is definitely his mother.
Yep.
Those two were fucking brother and sister. And his wife. His wife also went on to be the wife of the next couple of faps that took over as well. So she was fucking getting about a bit. And not the slut shame, Anak Sunamun or anything like that. And then also, like, I just sort of think, like, it's mostly history. We've seen it all. It raises some questions, though, about myths because of the curse.
Not in your head?
What?
Not in your head?
Oh, no, there's some questions. I wonder about it. I'm not going, no, it's 100% this is real. I go, it is a bit weird, you know, that happened. And
just think of the number of people who went to see the tomb and were part of the team to take it out, who nothing ever happened to.
Yeah.
Like, there's hundreds and hundreds of other people.
Some of them might have just been following orders, or maybe Tutankhamun didn't really. He didn't kill a load of the Egyptian guys that opened it, did he? Because he knows they were just dog's bodies.
Shouldn't be working for the infidel.
It's very gregarious. Strong language there, Dan.
Gregarious? I don't know what that means.
No, I don't think
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. I wonder though about the curse. I also wonder about, like, you know, people taking this stuff out of where it's meant to be. I have an issue with it, like, just generally, you know, taking things from Egypt.
Yes.
And putting them in British Museum or German Museum.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
I think that's weird.
My dad's been to the Valley of Kings and all those.
Really? Places, yeah. I would love to go to it, but I worry about going to.
And he's got
Egypt now.
That's where the asbestos maybe came from.
Is that the curse?
I had it before he went, but it makes me wonder. Is Peyronie's disease?
I was about to say, maybe that's where Peyronie's disease. Dick. He's got a wee fucking pyramid shaped walt now.
Maybe Tutankhamun said, "Hey, talking about my club foot, I'll give you club dick."
Club dick sounds like somewhere Carter would have hung out.
Yeah, in, yeah.
In Cairo, but I also wonder. I just wonder about stuff like that. But see when they take stuff out of those places, it's like, you know, they're arguing about the Elgin marbles now, and should they give them back to Greece?
Aye,
absolutely,
definitely.
It's I mean, see, in France, what do you call him? The guy Mitterrand, who was the French
left back, played for Rennes,
played for Marseille. Yeah, he with Jean-Pierre Papin. Anyway, he great. He Mitterrand was the French president or whatever in late '70s, early '80s.
Yeah, Dan, wasn't he? Dan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 78 to 83, I think.
He is that even right, or are you just saying this? Anyway, Mitterrand was famous for his love of Egypt.
Right.
But he took, it's because of Mitterrand that the Louvre has the pyramid and all.
Oh, right. Okay.
He basically okayed all that. He there's Egyptian artifacts and all in France that should probably be given back. And it's all this stuff to do with the colonial past of, like, France and Britain and all being out there. And it's like, back. I think they should be giving them back. You know, that's what these departments are for in those governments and countries like that. They know how to preserve it. They know how to keep it there. And that's where it should be. It shouldn't be taken. And yes, you know, when you have, like, people. So, like, for instance, at Birmingham, there's a whole Shabti collection that are donated by a guy. I think they're actually all known to the uni for research purposes, but there's like a few hundred Shabtis that were collected by a guy who went, a British guy who went on like the grand tour, and I think he was part of the military and stuff as well. And his estate has given these into the uni. But, like, I mean, that's an English guy. This should be in fucking Egypt. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Give him back to Egypt.
It belongs in a museum, if I've learned anything from Indiana Jones.
I think you present a lot of history there. I think the curse bit is myth. But I like that you think you've got questions.
I always think stuff like that, you shouldn't shut off. You know, you should absorb it as part of the history. You know, but that's I'm weird that way. Thanks for a great episode.
Thanks, brother.
Would you want it to be a furrow?
No.
Would you want a permit? I love the idea of having a mad, mad monument built to me after I'm dead and that I'm above the ground. A pyramid, like a full pyramid. Like, Tutankhamun didn't have it. Actually, I should have said, last thing, his grave was probably rushed because they weren't expecting him to die so young. Yeah. So he's probably actually buried in a grave built for somebody else. Interesting. Well, thanks for joining us here on this episode all about Tutankhamun and the curse. And mind yourself, don't be going into anybody's graves now.
Yep, careful.